This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the Evening Edition. And our next story is about Bersatu, a party whose infighting directly affects national politics. So there are two main factions, one behind party president Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and the other behind is chairman Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad.
And we've been seeing these tensions play out in all sorts of ways in the lead up to the May 18th parliamentary sitting. The motion of no confidence by Tun M against Tan Sri Muhyiddin, the potential change in Kedah's government, and let's not forget the recent call by Bersatu Youth Chief Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman for Bersatu to reject UMNO and rejoin Pakatan Harapan.
That ain't the end of it either. Yesterday, a one-minute audio recording leaked and made the rounds on social media. Allegedly, it was of Bersatu's final Supreme Council meeting before it left Pakatan on February 23rd. That's the same day as Lanka Sheraton. Mm-hmm. The main voice in that audio was purportedly of Tan Sri Muhyiddin, and it said that the party would throw its support behind Tun M and follow whatever decision he makes.
Yeah, and this comes after Bersatu Information Chief Radzi Jidin said that Tun had agreed with Bersatu's decision to leave PH but changed his stand at the last minute. And if the audio is verified, then it disputes the statement made by YB Radzi.
Yeah, so many, many things going on. I think even when we had that conversation with Bridget Welsh yesterday, when we first covered the story about Kedah, it was really about, well, you know, one of the main reasons why it's happening right now is because of Bersatu infighting. There, we can also expect party elections coming soon. Mm. Bersatu's elections coming soon, say at the end of June, when DROS allows for such gatherings to take place, you know, with SOPs and all that involved, right? So it's all coming to a head. You know, we're also looking at the May 18th parliamentary sitting, which, you know, we just found out that the only thing that will be addressed that day is the king's personal address. And that's more or less it for what's going to happen that day, you know, despite Tun M earlier filing a motion of no confidence that was approved by the speaker.
That's right. And I think that decision to by the prime minister to ensure that only the king's address is read and no other motions can be tabled is actually in a big way a big game changer. It's a win for Tun in the sense that I think it shows, it reveals Tan Sri Muhyiddin's hands and shows that he may not have the support of all 112 MPs. I don't know, you know, because honestly, if I were him, if I did have the support, I would just, you know, let it be seen, show that I have the confidence of Parliament and move on. On another note, I think it's also a big win for Tun in the sense that he's trying to dispel this notion, perhaps, that this Perikatan Nasional shows that, you know, all Malays are united on this one front. And I think the question of Malays and this question of Perikatan using or rather Bersatu trying to use this excuse to leave PH, that due to the fact that, you know, DAP is this threat to the Malay agenda and the well-being of Malays in general, I think it's a big win in saying that well, perhaps not all Malays are going to buy into this whole notion that Perikatan Nasional is going to save the country. If I'm not mistaken, Tun M actually wrote a piece on his blog saying that, you know, he said, quote unquote, you know, I'm embarrassed, truly embarrassed that Malays think that DAP is, you know, set out to, quote unquote, destroy the Malays. Mm-hmm. So I think there's this other question about how what's going on in Bersatu will shape the national dialogue about this, you know, us versus them mentality that Perikatan Nasional is trying to roll out.
Yeah, and you're right. I think there is a lot to be just seen with what's going on. You know, it's in a time when a lot of things are uncertain. We don't know where we're heading in the coming few months or even the coming few weeks with the pandemic, let alone what's going on in politics right now, right? There's there continues to be twists and turns. You know, we thought it was over with Lanka Sheraton, sort of. Mm. And then, well, no, it's not. You know, we see Kedah being unstable. And then we're also seeing movements in different states, like Johor, for example. There's some uncertainty there. A call to action by some of the Bersatu members that was, you know, not really passed through after some internal debates.
Right.
So not that uncertainty, I think, is what bothers a lot of us, right? And it continues to be the fact that, you know, while we're trying to deal with what's going on in the outside world, our leaders themselves don't seem to be quite getting a grasp on it. And every day there's a new announcement of government MPs getting new positions within GLCs. And on that note about not being able, Tan Sri Muhyiddin not, you know, opening the floor to that motion of no confidence, right? I think it really just does extend that perception that he is constantly trying to avoid questions. Mm. We haven't seen him have any sort of press conference where the media is allowed to, you know, put forth questions. He's not really been in avenues where that can happen directly from the public as well. So that continues to be something we see. So we're going to, after this, cross over to Dr. Hamidin Hamid, research fellow at Ilham Center, to talk us through what's going on, to get an in-depth dive into the politics of Bersatu. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts about what's going on, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:45 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and we are looking at the politics of Bersatu. Plenty of things going on recently with the party and how whatever happens there directly impacts national politics. So we're going to look into this in depth together with Dr. Hamidin Hamid, research fellow at Ilham Center. Dr. Hamidin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Kelvin.
So let's take a step back for a moment. Can you give us a general recap of where things stand at the moment in Bersatu?
I think everybody's, for us Malaysians, aware what happens is, especially in the fruitful day of Saturday on 23rd of February, when there is a big brouhaha, especially on the what we known as Sheraton move at night. And during the day of that Saturday, there is a meeting of the Bersatu, where later on we know that it is about them making a decision that they want to pull out of PH government. So I think because of that, Tun Mahathir resigned, and after that we have a change of government, in the sense of we have a new prime minister, and the name of Tan Sri Muhyiddin, appointed by Yandip Tuan Agong.
Now, how have things changed since the Lanka Sheraton move? Do you think that certain, you know, leaders in Bersatu now find themselves in more favorable positions than previously?
Okay. I think nothing's much in terms of the general national politics when it comes to after the Sheraton move. What I mean by that is, when we look at that, the alignment is still between the Bersatu and the PN government, together with PAS and UMNO, dominating the central government, and Bersatu mostly out of the PH, and even Tun Dr. Mahathir still are not joining any other opposition coalition, meaning they're still intact in Bersatu. And also in the opposition side, we still have Amanah, we still have PKR, and we still have DAP, even though I think PKR is also in some of the issues because of some of the reflections from Azmin came to Bersatu. So it's very much still intact, but I think what's interesting is dynamic within the party after the Sheraton move, especially in Bersatu, and at the same time also in the PN government. What is the dynamic of the PN government? Because it is a continuity where Bersatu lead government as before during the PH government, while they are the minority in the among the members of the coalition party.
Right. So what's the likelihood that Dr. Sri Mukris will unseat Tan Sri Muhyiddin as party president?
So far, from our observations and our primary research show that I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin's position in Bersatu are very much consolidated. I think is very much secure in terms of Bersatu as a president. I don't think Mukris will be successful if he wants to attempt any challenge toward Tan Sri Muhyiddin. I don't think even that is a wise move for Mukris to do that. I think when we look at what happened between Tan Sri and Muhyiddin and Tun Dr. Mahathir, I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin also have the advantage when it comes to kind of the battle between him and Tun Mahathir in Bersatu, especially among the leadership of the MPT of Bersatu. I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin, because of his position as a prime minister, I think you can see what he's been doing for the past month or so, where basically he's using the privilege of being in the government, winning in the horse trading among the MPs, not only in the Bersatu, but also among other MPs, to get support not only for the government, but also within the Bersatu. So I think there is a very difficult task for Tun to bringing a serious challenge to Tan Sri Muhyiddin.
So based on what you just said then, if Tan Sri Muhyiddin does keep his post after the party elections and Tun M continues as party chairman, then how long can a split Bersatu continue to exist?
I think you are right in terms of, I think the D-Day for the Bersatu will be in June. There is a party election because they already delayed that and they have to do it by June. But I think by June is going to be there is some sort of answer. Definitely. So far, we know that nobody challenged Tun as a chairman. But I assume it's going to be a very clear distinction between the two. Either I think Tun left Bersatu or being sacked. I'm looking from that angle. I don't think Tan Sri Muhyiddin was going to leave Bersatu because he's in the dominant position in the party. So I think the challenge now is for how does he can reconcile with Tun Mahathir, and also how can Tun Mahathir, to some extent, limited the impact of their clash with Tan Sri Muhyiddin to Bersatu as a party.
So if we assume a worst-case scenario, if Tun M does choose to leave Bersatu and Bersatu ends up being Tan Sri Muhyiddin's party, essentially, what party do you think Tun M would fit in?
Well, that's one of the, interesting questions that we, as a researcher at the same time, are looking at. Because two things. Some people, even in the earlier part, when we look what happened in February, thought that this is the end of Tun Mahathir Mohamad as a politician. But I think he showed that he still have capacity and capability to get involved and get involved deeply in the political scenario in Malaysia. So I do assume that he will actively work, but I'm not sure which party that he will join. Maybe he will form another small party to pursue his interest, which I think can be fit in into Pakatan Harapan. But it depends. But I don't see he is joining any party in Pakatan Harapan as it is now.
When you say that Tan Sri Muhyiddin, and I think this is a narrative that we hear, that Tan Sri Muhyiddin has to appease or get the permission of Tun M, and I think, you know, even considering the next step of potentially sacking him and Mukris from the party, why is it important for Muhyiddin to be able to get that sort of acceptance or that collaboration together with Tun M?
I think it is two things, Calvin. I think the most important for Bersatu is not only among the MPT. I think the whole idea, in my point of view, why Tan Sri Muhyiddin also want to patch things up with Tun, because it's about the grassroots politics. I think the real support, the moral support for Bersatu leading to the next PRU, and it gives him very much a political legitimacy in the party. So if he can reconcile with Tun in any way, okay, in any effort, I think that will give a tremendous advantage to Tan Sri Muhyiddin that he's being accepted. So the split in the top level now is also felt in the grassroots level, and particularly in the Cawangan and in the Bahagian of Bersatu. Vis-a-vis, if you look at what happened now, for example, in Johor, in many others, where people in the Bahagian level are facing constant threat because of the changing of the government. For example, in Johor, there is a big clash between Bersatu and UMNO and many other states. That make the Bersatu members questions to what extent they will survive because of the split. So by having by having a reconciliation between the two, will give a tremendous support to Tan Sri Muhyiddin. And I don't think he can eliminate that choice. I think the choice is still open for him.
Right, and I'm assuming also because for the grassroots themselves, they had taken a huge risk or indeed, and potentially a huge investment in having jumped potentially from UMNO to Bersatu.
Yes.
Now, where does Syed Saddiq fit into all of this in terms of his own standing with the youth wing, which is arguably a very important component in this bigger picture?
I think I look at it this way, Carol. I think yes, Saddiq have their own stand in the Bersatu, but remember this: when it comes to party politics, the most powerful is actually the grassroots in any political party. Yes, Saddiq is very much popular among the top leadership, among the certain section of society, especially even in among the Bersatu members. So I think I will foresee a very strong challenge to Syed Saddiq because he is not aligned, to Tan Sri Muhyiddin in the senior leadership level. So that will give, in my point of view, a lot of weight to others in challenging him as a leader in youth in Armada. But having said that, I think so far Syed Saddiq stands on his ground. Why he want to stay there? And I think, but I doubt he will sustain the onslaught of Tan Sri Muhyiddin faction if he stay together with Tun by June.
Right, and outside of Bersatu, analysts have said that UMNO is the one who's actually pulling the strings in the Perikatan National Government. To what extent would you say this is true?
Oh, I don't think so. I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin, personally as a prime minister, still in control of the PN government. Definitely, yes. I think UMNO will want to create a perception that they are leading the government because they have the biggest, to some extent, members in the parliament, especially among the Barisan Nasional. But I think because of the situation, now it's very difficult for anybody to claim that they are dominating the government. I think this is partly why Tan Sri Muhyiddin give the concept of senior minister, dissolve the power among the contenders. But at the same time, we are not denying that UMNO, I think because of the experience, 60 years in governing the country, have the advantage in dealing how, for example, for them to understand the dilly-dallying of being the political majority and government of the day. That gives tremendous advantage for UMNO against other members of the coalition.
Right, and I guess now moving ahead, May 18 is the next day to look forward to, as well as the Bersatu party elections. What are some things we should watch out for during this time?
I think this is a wait for another, in my point of view, a lot of bumpy ride, especially not only among Bersatu, but I think even in the state level. I think it will be interesting because most of the state, even though the changing of the government happened, but because with the slim majority and because what is happening now, the horse trading among the political party is becoming, in my point of view, is becoming big. PKR are going to have their own party elections next year. Bersatu is going to be in June, and UMNO also next year. So everybody is jostling for a place and position to make sure that only they survive, but also their party survival, leading to the PRU 14, 15.
One last question we have from a listener called Ku. It's on a piece from... it's a research on, you know, who the voters' choice is, and in a survey of about 1,400 people, people would still end up picking Pakatan. Is that what you're seeing as well in terms of the national level?
Yeah, we look in terms of that because of the situation, how the power was taken from the Pakatan, give a lot of sympathy vote, a lot of sympathy that we see from most of the people that we go. But at the same time, we can if we look. Not only is current situation, when we analyze, for example, for what happened in the past couple of months, I think it's going to be a balance. I think nobody, no political party as it is now, we are aware of the research conducted by the UIA group of researchers. Mm-hmm. But for us, under the current situation now, nobody can claim that they're going even to have a clear majority, not a clear majority. I think nobody can claim that they have that. Even the PN, PN or BN government, Muafakat Nasional among PAS and UMNO, I don't think they have the clear majority and can claim that they have a clear majority. Yes, in my point of view, the sentiment is still there for some of the voters because of the how the power was grabbed from the Pakatan. But I think the issues of ethnic, the issues of inequalities and many others should be considered. Because if you look in the last five PRK, PRK Kecil, before transfer of power, we can see there is strong momentum leading towards oppositions against PH at that time.
Dr. Hamidin, thank you so much for the analysis.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Dr. Hamidin Hamid, research fellow at Ilham Center, taking us through the politics of Bersatu. We are, after this, going to be talking about, you know, the reopening of hair saloons and hairdressers. So you can let us know your thoughts about anything, Bersatu, cars, as well as that. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.